Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. Get on the show. Call 280-CATS. That's 280-2287. Or toll free at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Big Blue Insider is brought to you by UK Healthcare.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. Mark Berger filling in for Dick Gabriel tonight alongside Curtis Birch. Today is draft day for the greatest sport in the world. Yesterday was the big draft day that we all care about, the NBA draft. Today is the NHL draft. I don't think any Kentucky players are going to be selected, although there is a hockey team there, and they could potentially be, I guess.
But those guys could still play college, right? Isn't that how that works?
Yes, actually. In fact, many of those drafted will be like 17 years old, not quite ready for college, will get stashed at a college by their NHL team until such a time as the NHL team needs them, and then they will play immediately for the NHL team.
How fun would that be?
It would be great.
Well, it happened in basketball, just not at that successfully. With Randolph Morris.
Right, exactly.
Like it is, Randolph Morris like just went and signed with the Knicks after he was done.
The entire hockey like draft slash elite, like I don't know what they do because the hockey season ends before the semester ends.
They probably don't have APR,
I guess. Frozen Four is in March, right? Yeah. Because they were holding it when I went with my younger son, we go to a hockey game, an NHL game every year now. And we went up to Columbus, and it was like Frozen Four weekend. Or it might have been the regional weekend, and the next weekend was Frozen Four weekend. So it's either the end of March or beginning of April. So school is still going on at most of these places. And these dudes just, like, drop, not the gloves, I guess, because that's a totally different thing in hockey. Though, like, they just drop their sticks and go off. Like, just, and go play.
You got no idea.
Like, I remember.
I mean baseball does it, but obviously they're done with the semester when their season ends, because school's out College World Series on right now, and so they're all done for the most part.
Right.
And then they can go play, what do they call it?
They can go play rookie league ball, whatever. Like immediately.
They got 14,000 leagues for baseball, so they just go play one of them after they get drafted and work out the contracts.
And really, all of the major league teams that have guys left in the College World Series at this point are like, is this thing ever going to end? Mm-hmm. Can they get eliminated now? Because we have plans.
Yeah.
And they would like their players to show up. But I remember years ago when they had the Frozen Four in Cincinnati, which was a debacle, like a complete catastrophe. But they had a guy named Martin St. Louis who had been drafted by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And like they lost in the semifinals. And I think he was playing for the Lightning like 3 days later. Just rolled out. See you guys. You can't do that. He'd been drafted ages before that, and they said, hey, go play college for a while, and we'll call you when we need you. So he finished like his junior year, and off he went.
I still don't understand how there's like so many different rules across so many different sports.
Yeah, it seems like somebody would standardize that.
You would imagine, but baseball's got rules, football's got a rule.
But they have not. And a big argument erupted on the Twitter machine today among college basketball writers about whether or not guys who don't get drafted, like Wendy and Gabriel, should be able to just come back to college. I am of the opinion that they should be able to come back to college. There were people who were of the opinion that that would send the college basketballing world into chaos and should never be allowed. And I don't really understand why. Although I did hear the one guy said, well, if they want to come back and their scholarship's already been given away, they should be allowed to transfer. And one guy said, well, but at that point, they would just declare for the draft knowing they're not getting drafted and then just go to another school without having to sit out.
Well, but if there's
That'd
still a scholarship available at that school, then they couldn't do that, right? That's what you're talking about?
Right. That's correct.
So
they would have to get their scholarship back.
If that's how that was set up right now, Wendy and Gabriel would have to go back to Kentucky this year. If
Correct.
He wanted to come back and play college basketball.
Yeah, because they have a scholarship left.
Yeah.
And as Mike DeCourcy pointed out, very, very few. Like, do you remember when they went from 15 scholarships to 13 and you'd have thought the world was going to end?
No.
So once upon a time, boys and girls, this is the Once Upon a Time Hour. Once upon a time, men's basketball teams had 15 scholarships to give away, one for every seat they had on the bench. That, as part of, it was Title IX related, got reduced to 13 scholarships. And I mean to tell you, the wailing and gnashing of teeth was extraordinary. Oh my goodness, this is going to kill college basketball. It's going to be the worst thing that ever happened. How are teams going to compete? Well, here's the deal. That made the 14th and 15th guy on every major college bench go someplace else where you could go for free. And it made college basketball infinitely better. So that's how it worked out. I have argued that women's basketball should cut to 13 just to make their sport better so that you couldn't stockpile quite so many people.
Gino.
But they're not going to do that because they need those scholarships to keep. I mean, that's the deal. Like, football throws off the scholarship numbers. So everybody's got to get scholarships to take care of the football numbers. So, but very few colleges roll with 13 scholarship players.
Louisville just got to 10. Kentucky's going to go with 10 this
year. So they got spots sitting around. I mean, it's not like they're sitting around thinking, well, if we only had a space for that guy.
Is that the only argument that's against guys being able to return?
Myron Medcalf from ESPN was the anti guy in the argument I saw. So it was Mike DeCourcy, pro comeback, be able to come back. Myron Medcalf, anti be able to come back.
Okay.
And Medcalf's argument was, like, what if you're a guy who's been recruited to be a point guard and all of a sudden a point guard comes back? You got to beat him out. I mean, that's how life works, folks. Like, I didn't understand that line of logic at all.
Yeah, that doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, it's not really, yeah, I guess, but if you're aware of all the factors that would go into it, you know, it's not like the rule would just be changed now.
Yeah.
So if, for example, we're putting it out, like, say it happens next year and Tyrese Maxey's coming in and then Ashton Higgins goes pro but doesn't get drafted and he comes back, Maxey would be aware going into this that there's a possibility that Ashton Higgins would be able to come back. So, like, I don't like that argument either. It feels like they're just stretching to try to not let this change happen because I still don't hear any kind of decent argument other than coaches don't like to deal with uncertainty, which seems to be the basis for a lot of rules in college basketball, and that's making rules for the wrong reason.
No, and I think that's not good enough. And you're right, that is the basis of many of the rules in college basketball. I mean, that was the absolute basis for the brief change in whether and how long guys had to quote-unquote test the waters of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it went from 4 weeks to like 3 days.
Yeah.
And that was 100% driven by ACC basketball coaches who didn't like the idea of having to wait to see if a guy was going to stay in the draft. That's wrong.
Roy.
It was really not so much Roy, actually. It was that renowned leader of men who kind of led that charge, is my understanding.
Okay.
Maybe. So that's the deal.
That was Spanish.
I got
you. That wasn't a letter.
My bad. I'm not sure how we started off on that tangent exactly. I started it with the hockey talk. That's right. That's how it worked out. And it all went south. Really, the whole thing is always my fault. Last night, of course, was the NBA draft. Four of the five UK players who opted to enter the draft got drafted. Kevin Knox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went in the first round. Was it back-to-back or was there one in between them?
There was one in between.
Okay, one in between them. Knox went 9 to the Knicks, and Shai went 11 then
to the Hornets.
The Hornets, and then got traded to the Clippers.
Yes.
And then in the second round, and this interested me. Jared Vanderbilt got drafted by, I've lost track of who he got drafted by already. The Nuggets? Did he get drafted by the Nuggets, or did he get traded to the Nuggets?
Got traded to the Nuggets.
Okay, so he got drafted by somebody, got traded to the Nuggets. I just read, no, he's still with the Nuggets. It's Hamidou got drafted by somebody, got traded to somebody. He got drafted by the Nets, got traded to the Hornets.
Hold on. No. Actually,
is that not right?
It's correct, but there's like a caveat. The reason we have to use it to say all these things, like, I forget what the exact word is, like a proposed trade or whatever, because they can't be made official until a certain time. And the Nets, this a trade had happened before the draft. The Nets had traded with Charlotte, and that was the Dwight Howard thing, I think, right? Because Timothy Mozgov.
Yes, that's correct.
And so, even though it was still the Nets, because the trade wasn't able to be finalized yet, they're actually drafting for Charlotte. And so Charlotte picked Diallo via this Nets pick, even though we still have to do this weird dance. And then later on in the night, Charlotte traded Diallo to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes, that's where they're at. The NBA draft is one of the most, I don't know if it's hard to follow the Major League Baseball draft or not because nobody watches it. I mean, people kind of pay attention to the first round and then, you know, whatever. And you get all the tweets that say this player got taken, you know, if you follow a university. And that's great. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy for everybody who gets drafted and gets to go play minor league baseball. I would still be playing baseball right now if I had any ability to play baseball. I would have played baseball for my entire life. It's the greatest sport God's ever invented. Go get them, kids. But since you vanish for 3 or 4 years, generally, if you're not a first-round draft pick, people like quit paying attention to the draft. Like after the first 5 picks.
Yeah.
The NBA draft is completely impossible to follow because I don't understand why teams just don't take the guy they want, right? Like, why did the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander thing happen? Like, why don't they just wait and take him where they wanted to take him?
I don't understand what you just asked. Charlotte? Yeah, they
the
just
Clippers picked. Hang
the
on.
Clippers wanted Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and it was rumored that Charlotte was going to trade the pick to someone behind the Clippers.
Gotcha.
And then that team was going to draft Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. So that put, well, and I mean, that was the rumor. Charlotte just could have made up that rumor to get, forget exactly what they ended up getting to make that trade. They made it so that, you know, they would be able to get Gilgeous-Alexander, who they really wanted.
It's very confusing to me. Most things are confusing to me, and we'll get into some of the confusing things again later. I'm going to find you here, Curtis. But we'll take a break, and while we do that, I'm going to find the trade for you because it's all
which trade
in black and white, the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander one. I'll have that when we return. You're listening to Big Blue Insider on the Home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP. I love LA. Welcome back, Big Blue Insider. Mark Berger filling in for Dick Gabriel alongside Curtis Birch, and I mean to tell you, I'm surprised. I'm so confused I can't even remember which word I am.
What's confused? I don't understand exactly what you're confused about. It's
the Clippers traded. They were going to have the 12th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
They traded 2 second-round picks to the Hornets to move up 1 slot in the draft.
Yes.
But So they end up picking Shea, essentially.
Yes.
Did the Hornets end up with Miles Bridges then? Yes, they did. Now it makes sense. I wasn't sure what happened to Miles Bridges when he got picked.
He got traded to the Hornets.
Right. So he got traded to the Hornets.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't they just call each other and agree to, like, hey, you take this guy and I'll take this guy. We'll give you 2 second round. Like,
they
I
did.
Guess that's essentially what they did, isn't it?
No, but you can't make it official. For weird reasons.
It's just too hard for me to follow.
Sorry.
You should have to work all that out in advance so that it's easy enough for my feeble brain to get a hold of. By the way, if you want to join in here, 280-2287, 1-800-606-4263 are the numbers. And you could literally pick anything to explain to me because I probably don't understand it. Just pick any single thing and explain it to me. But it's a family show, so keep it clean. You could also tweet us either at Meisterberger or at Curtis Birch. You can also email us, mark@wlap.com. I'm sorry, Curtis, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
See, now I don't know either. This is my question.
The thing. Oh, I remember
go ahead,
now.
Curtis.
It was that there's weird. They're allowed to announce trades, but where they're being done in the time on the clock, whatever that, I don't even know. What do they get? 10 minutes in the first round? Is that right? I know it goes like lightning.
5.
It's only 5? What's it in the second round? Like 2?
Like, 25 seconds. It's like a fantasy draft at that point. 25 seconds.
Well, that goes to my point. They only
and
have
if you get to 20 seconds, everybody in the room yells at you.
So many minutes to make this trade happen, and you don't have enough time to, you know, make it official through the league offices because there's bureaucracy, I'm sure. And then it has to be approved. And then, so, but you end up drafting the guy for the other team.
And then you just can work it out whenever.
Yeah, later.
Gotcha.
I mean, the worst one last night was Mikal Bridges.
That was bad. Like, we were eventually going to get to that, but I'll let that go now. And Curtis, you go ahead and tell the story. I'm so sad for the guy.
Mikal Bridges won a two national championships at Villanova, right? Two rings.
Yes. So Villanova is in what city, Curtis?
He's in Philly.
Philadelphia.
He lived in Philly his whole life. His mom's job is actually in the front office for the 76ers.
So cold.
So he gets drafted by the 76ers, and it's this feel-good story of the entire draft.
Like, everyone, his mom is going bananas on TV.
Mm-hmm. And then, all of a sudden, the Suns come, and they say, hey, you want to trade? And so the Sixers trade Mikal Bridges, whose only dream had been to play for the 76ers.
Since he was a little kid.
To the Suns. And in exchange for the 16th pick, which was eventually Zaire Smith, and a first rounder in 2021. That was a really good deal for the 76ers, I think, though.
I think, like, it is a good deal for the 76ers. And as much as we think we want to follow the Suns here in Lexington, because they have like 8 or 9 Kentucky players on the roster now, right?
I think they're down to
4, 3.
Ulis Booker.
Is Bledsoe not the Bledsoe's with the Bucks now, isn't he?
Yeah, he was traded.
Okay, that might be down to 2.
I can't keep track of Brandon Knight because he has injuries.
No, it is. Is Brandon Knight is still on their roster?
But he was injured this year, right? So he didn't play.
So he didn't play. So that's the poor kid gets traded to Phoenix, and God bless him. We want the Phoenix Suns to do well because they've got a lot of UK players there. But much like the Sacramento Kings that have a lot of UK players, they're terrible. I mean, they were just terrible.
Not good at all.
Not good at all. Not even a little bit good.
That's why they got the number one pick.
DeAndre Ayton. Which is also interesting to me. Because,
why?
Like, I will be honest with you, I didn't see Ayton play a lot last year.
I saw him
play. Was it impressive?
No, they lost the game. Against Buffalo?
Right, that's what I was thinking. And like, he was sort of just, I mean,
to be fair,
he wasn't
great in that game. I saw the second half of the second half because I was working after Kentucky's game.
Right.
And by that time,
it was kind of over.
Yeah, because Buffalo like blew him out. And I was like, oh, man, that doesn't look good. He's not like loafing, but it didn't look like maximum effort. But like, there were other guys on his team that were just getting blown by these Buffalo guys. I mean, they were going straight to the rim, and he kind of just gave up because the game. I wouldn't say gave up, but didn't look like max effort. But he's really good when you watch other games.
He looked a lot like that the whole game, though.
I didn't watch the whole game.
He was as much a non-factor in that game as Mo Bamba kind of was in the Texas loss in the first round, right? Just not. And again, it's a small sample size.
Well,
there were games where they were really good.
You know what they say.
What's that?
Guards win in the NCAA tournament.
That's true.
Those guys aren't guards.
Guards seem to be winning NBA titles, too, lately.
LeBron's not a guard.
He didn't win either.
Won it 2 years ago. Three. What is it? Yeah, time for last.
Yeah, time
the
for
three
last.
Three last. Three ago.
Three ago. It seems like just yesterday. I don't know. I rarely conjecture on NBA draft picks anymore after
Porzingis debacle.
Rajon Rondo debacle.
Oh, you did later on this very show. And I don't know how that worked out, but I remember you were on here draft night, I think 3 or 4 years ago, and you just crushed Kristaps. And you were wildly wrong.
All the wrong. Kristaps now. Kristaps Porzingis, of course, soon to be teammate. I guess now he is technically a teammate of Kevin Knox, who was drafted by the Knicks. I mean to tell you, like, you want to follow the NBA and follow UK players, but it's really hard because there just aren't any good teams. The Pelicans are the best team. It's bad times. We'll talk more NBA draft when we come back. You're listening to Big Blue Insider on the home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP.
Rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed.
Welcome back. Big Blue Insider, Mark Berger filling in for Dick Gabriel tonight alongside Curtis Birch. If you want to join in, 280-2287, 1-800-606-4263 are the numbers. You can email us, mark at WLAP.com. You can tweet us either at Meisterberger, which is M-E-I-S-T-E-R-B-U-E-R-G-E-R, because I chose the hardest to spell Twitter handle in the world, apparently. Or you can tweet Curtis at Curtis Birch, both of which are common spellings.
False.
A U instead of an I in the last name.
Yeah, that's not.
But it's not like it's Q U R T I S or something crazy. I mean, people figured out. I think.
For the most part.
Love to get your thoughts on the UK players drafted yesterday. Already an article out about whether or not they will have a lottery pick in the 2019 draft. I honestly just can't figure out how to, like, it's like the whole world has quit actually caring about games and everything functions on that, like, team manager setting.
Well, that's why.
On EA Sports. Like, we've all, like, done team manager. And I think this is it, right, Curtis? So we all know that, like, I know that I can't go play Major League Baseball. But if you give me a video game with team manager on it, maybe I could learn to be a general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do this. So now the whole world revolves around, like, in the NCAA basketball and football games, where you had to, like, you had to go recruit players and stuff. We had the last version of that one, and, like, Jake would sit around for hours recruiting players for the video game. I was like, why don't you just stop that and play a game? He's like, no, I got to get players.
Hey, that's,
it was fascinating. Build a program. I don't think he ever actually played any football games.
Yeah, you just sim those.
Yeah. So he simmed them and then went to recruiting season. That's what sports fandom has become. Sports fandom has become NCAA Football 19.
I explained it like this once about the NBA offseason, because, I mean, that's what this basically entails, this the drama around LeBron and Kawhi now and the Ball brothers and all this craziness. It's like a soap opera for sports fans. There's all these characters. There's love and, you know,
right,
and hatred between Kyrie and LeBron, and these thing people split up and then go their separate ways, and sometimes they're reunited. Oh, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James are coming,
so good.
Are coming back together, and then they split
reunited
up again. So it's just an amazing amount of drama.
And that's like that
we,
is
we watch sports and we attempt to break them down, but the people on the court and coaching the games for the most part know more than us.
Well, yeah. I mean, except for that one guy when he was here.
Wait, which sport?
Basketball. He seemed kind of lost a lot.
Well, he lost a lot.
He did also lose a lot. He was very unpopular. And that's what I think is driving some of the NBA's just massive surge in popularity. They have the most fun offseason. Like, it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, last night, Joel Embiid's just going after Ayton already. Saying,
right,
don't compare him to my defense.
Yeah.
I actually play defense.
Like, it was within seconds of him being picked. Like, because I was watching, I was still watching the draft then. I waited until Shea got picked. That's kind of when we checked out. I had some work stuff I had to get done last night. So, Ayton had been picked.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chauncey Billups, like, they were doing player comparisons. Because you can't just pick a guy. He's got to be somebody else. Which I do too. Like,
well,
every recruit we ever interviewed on the Sunday show before we quit doing that because they kept decommitting. I asked who they compared themselves to. So that's like one way of doing those things. But like Chauncey Billups says, I mark him as a player like Joel Embiid. And then seconds later, it was like Embiid knew he was going to say that because the tweet was up within seconds. It was impressive.
Doesn't take that long to tweet.
It does if you type like I do. So, that is the NBA.
And then, to bring it to Kentucky, Nick, everyone, just now it's like a tradition unlike any others, just make fun of Knicks fans.
Right.
Because they act like a bunch of, well, there was actually crying children sometimes. But their adult fans act like crying
right.
children anytime
now,
who they pick.
The Knicks have famous crying child fan and famous grown-up thumbs down fan, and they stand right next to each other and they get on camera every year. It's the same two people.
I did actually hear, it was actually a really good point by Jalen Rose this morning on ESPN. He said, because someone was like, well, why do they boo these guys? It's like, because that's how you get on TV.
Right.
And so that's what they do. But, you know, Knicks fans Jets fans, right? I mean, they just love to boo people.
And this is coming from a guy who tends to hate everything. I want to be clear about that. I understand who I am as a human. But New York fans hate everything. They hate all of the things. It's fascinating. And I guess to a certain extent, they get to hate everything now because their teams aren't as good. But for a while, they had a bunch of really good teams. And I don't understand their bizarre hatred of all of them.
When did that happen? I don't ever recall.
Well, they had the Yankees and the Giants.
Okay. But the Giants had Eli Manning. So could you really fall in love with a team?
It's hard to fall in love with a team with Eli Manning. All right, so back to actual draft questions, Curtis. Were you surprised that Vanderbilt went before Hamidou?
I was surprised Jared Vanderbilt went.
Right? I had really quit paying attention by that point. I assumed Hamidou was going to get drafted, you know, and he's a guy that had a first round grade for a long time. Had he come out last year, he might have been a first round draft pick.
Maybe. I still doubt it. People just like to do revisionist history. I think he's in the exact same range he was last year.
Could have been. So he could have not hurt or helped himself. But like Vanderbilt to me was such a mystery. That I thought if he got drafted, it would be way, 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 way down the line. And I get that the whole second round is non-guaranteed money. But, you know, one of the things I'm far from an expert on NBA draft and roster mechanics. I need my older boy to help me with this. But when the team, like, traded for him, that's usually an indication that they have an intent to keep him around one way or another, whether they're going to stash him in the D-League and let him play there for a year or whatever.
Well,
but that they want to invest in him.
Did you see the reports from his news conference today?
I did not.
He's in a boot on a scooter.
No, I did see that. I saw that video.
Yeah, he's in a boot on a scooter.
Like that went from day to day to he's in a boot on a scooter 5 months later, 3 months later.
He wasn't in a boot during the NCAA tournament.
So that would lead us to believe.
Well, I mean, I think he had it on in the SEC tournament, but I didn't see it. When we would interview him in the locker room.
Yeah, so like that would indicate that he's had some sort of procedure done on the bad foot.
Now the question becomes, is this the procedure that was initially talked about at the beginning of this season with Jared Vanderbilt?
It didn't happen.
Because I feel like we need to reset this every time because it's just so confusing. Jared Vanderbilt was supposed to have surgery on his foot, ankle, leg
right.
area. And then they said...
And that's following the McDonald's All-America. So this is the other foot, though, isn't it?
Well, he had an injury in high school.
Right.
Missed a good portion of his season, but played enough to make the McDonald's All-American
right.
game.
Got hurt at the weekend.
Yes. That, I don't think, was connected to what they wanted to have surgery on. But all this, we don't know. Like, I don't completely understand it because none of it was all officially released because of HIPAA. And actually, I mean, we don't necessarily have a right to know. The NBA teams, I'm guessing, know all this. And so what ended up happening, he didn't have the surgery, even though... That was initially what they were going to do. He got a second opinion, said that they just did rehab. And so then that stretched out all season. He was supposed to be back. If I remember initially, it was like January, February, probably. And then we all know when he came back, that South Carolina game when he nearly broke the backboard when he was trying to shoot it because he just
right.
threw the ball so hard because he was all jacked up. And so then you go through the year and you get kind of like, whoa, this PJ Washington, he's playing harder now because Vanderbilt's kind of showing him up a little bit with the fact that he's playing so hard. The team's coming together. Then all of a sudden there was an ankle injury or something and
gone.
He was gone again for the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. And throughout that time, it was day to day is what we were told. And even though Larry Vaught tells us every time that he knew by the tone of John Calipari's voice the first time it was talked about, you know, he was traveling with the team, and when we talked to him in the locker room, he said, you know, maybe if we make a deep enough run. And now he went into hiding, basically, after the year. No one heard anything from him, didn't go to the combine. I think he did some interviews or something. And then the next time we see him, he's in a boot with a scooter.
And not like a motor scooter
either.
Yeah,
not like a hover around.
It's like that sort of...
It's the new thing. You put your leg on it, you bend your knee, and you set
your
knee
on
it, and then you like drive it around.
I saw somebody ride one of those down a hill like a tricycle once. It did not end well. They're not super stable.
So I guess the Nuggets strategy is like, all right, you're an elite talent in the SEC, and you have injury problems? Come to Denver, and we're going to make you awesome. Michael Porter Jr., Jared Vanderbilt.
Right. I forgot they drafted Porter, too.
Yeah, so that's Denver's model.
I did love, by the way, and I can't remember who the CBS guy was that graded all the drafts, but he graded
Reed Forgrave.
Is it Reed? Is that who that is?
That's what I thought. Of, yeah.
So he it was Reed Forgrave. He grades the Knicks draft of Kevin Knox a C+. And he says, but the big move was right there for the Knicks to take Michael Porter Jr., who has much more upside. And while Knox looks like a solid starter, the move definitely did not win Knicks fans. No, they wouldn't have cared if they drafted Porter either.
Nah, they would have. Well, the Michael Porter chance would have. I think they. Here's the thing with the draft. People have no idea.
No,
in all honesty. Like, yeah, when you watch the NFL draft, and I think this is a little bit easier to kind of comprehend, because when you get to the sixth and seventh round, I mean, you're in the pick 100 and whatever.
You just
and
you
no one knows. No one knows what the heck, who's talented and who not, and you can't, like, it's tough to almost judge that many. At least with the, you know, the NBA, you got 60 guys. You've watched a lot of college basketball. You have some kind of idea about things. But the when you're watching the NFL draft, you know, as a fan, you're like, Mel Kiper's best available. Todd Mache's best available. Draft that guy. Draft that guy. That's going to be awesome. He's the best. It says so on my screen. And, I mean, when you looked at ESPN screen, Jay Billis is best available. Michael Porter Jr. was at the top, right?
Right.
So that's what Knicks fans wanted. Nick was like, hey, best available.
That
I want that. I want that.
Check out that guy.
I want to see an A+ next to our name when these guys come out with the draft rankings.
They did. What did old Reed give the Porter draft?
I'm guessing it was high.
No, he got an A. The Nuggets got an A for drafting him at 14.
Look at that. Boom.
Yeah, see, Knicks fans? Just going to go to the phones here quick and get John Short in here. John Short, you're a great American.
You're a great American.
What's going on, buddy?
I mean, it's not good that Knicks beat a Kentucky Wildcat player. It means they don't like Kentucky Wildcats. They wish they never had a Wildcat player in the first place.
So we should just not go there at all?
Probably. The New York Knicks says, I guess it would be Kenny Walker. When he went there.
He did okay there, though.
Yep.
You know why they don't like Kentucky players.
Because Kentucky is the all-time winning team in college basketball.
No, we took their basketball coach.
Rick Pitino, I thought it was that way before Pitino took over. I thought it was that way for decades to come.
No, I sort of thought they liked Kenny Walker there.
I didn't know. I thought it would be any Wildcat player, no matter who it is, no matter when they first started, first time.
John, they loved them some Kenny Walker, because how could you not? He was slam dunk champion. Wore the goggles. Scout out on fast breaks and went crazy.
I just figured they don't like Kentucky in general. They need to be maybe up in New York.
Well, we don't like them either. How's that, John Short?
Okay, no.
We don't need their nonsense.
Yeah, I know it, so.
All right, what else?
I think what Kevin Knox should have done is go home to play for an NBA team and hit his own state. We should have done.
Well, he doesn't
get to play for the Heat or the Magic?
Yep.
That'd have been interesting.
Yeah, but I think what they do when the states are from, they play in their home states.
When they
all should play for New York Knickerbockers instead of playing for Billy Donovan or Oklahoma Thunder.
Well, that's called they had the regional draft back in the ABA.
Mm-hmm. There was a league recently that had that, like that had a regional draft bias, and it might have been MLS at one point, Major League Soccer. For those of you who are not soccer people,
like and where they you made got at one point,
I think it was them, where you like had a particular say over guys that played in your region or something. So you would get a guy that was local. I won't swear to it. But there was some, or it might have been a more obscure league, I don't know. But you used to get guys that were local talents. So there you go.
Okie dokie. So it's like, I think what Garrett should have done, it should have sounded like after the draft was over, and so you think a draft should come back to Kentucky.
They're not allowed to do that, though.
Yeah, they ought to do it because NCAA doesn't allow that. They need to allow that for basketball.
I agree with you, John Short. That would be amazing.
I'll be that way for women's and men's basketball.
I don't – well, some women do go out early for the draft, and almost all of them get picked, I think.
Okay, dokie.
All right. All right, John Short. What else? You got anything else for us tonight?
That's pretty much about it. Sorry about Charles Cranham. Sorry about him.
I knew you'd be sad about that.
I know it.
There you go. All right. Charles Krauthammer is the political commentator who passed away yesterday. He was young-ish still, like 62?
68.
Yeah, 68. There you go. That's not that young, but still younger than I want to go. Right, John Short?
Yeah.
All right, brother. You have a great night. You're a great American.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy, buddy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Big Blue Insider after this on the Home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP. Welcome back. Big Blue Insider, Mark Berger, filling in for Dick Gabriel tonight alongside Curtis Birch. If you want to join in, talk a little bit about the NBA draft and the UK players that went in it, give us a call, 280-2287, 1-800-606-4263 are the numbers. You can email us, mark at WLAP.com. You can tweet the show at Sunday AM Sports. Nope, finally messed it up, at Meisterberger or at Curtis Birch. You can tweet either of us tonight.
I wasn't even going to catch that one.
I know, it's weird. JB3 tweets in, if we had a Kentucky NBA team with all Kentucky NBA players, would they win the title? Cal coaching, of course. The answer is probably no, I feel like. It would be interesting. It'd be fun. Like, I would like that. It would be fun to go watch games. But, I mean, you could put a decent lineup out, right? So you'd put Anthony Davis. You know, let's say you go Anthony Davis. It'd basically be the Pelicans. Unless maybe you wanted to get De'Aaron Fox out there instead of Rajon Rondo because he's younger.
You don't like John Wall?
Or John Wall. That's a good point. You got a lot of point guards you got to try and find room for.
Well, you move one to two.
Can any of the three of them shoot?
I think they would because it would be John Wall, Devin Booker. I don't know who your three. Probably Gilchrist, healthy. Bledsoe off the bench. Cousins, Davis.
It'd be a pretty good team.
No, they'd win.
Well, they'd win a title?
Yes. They would be better than the Warriors.
That is high praise, Curtis.
Well, they would have three All-Stars. No, four All-Stars. Well,
but you'd have to have four All-Stars because
don't give me that fake All-Star that's Draymond Green.
Doesn't Golden State have four All-Stars?
That's a fake All-Star.
Okay.
He's a fake All-Star.
My bad.
Not an All-Star in my book.
All right.
Hanger-on of coattails.
It'd be interesting.
No, they'd win.
Would Cal coach them to a title?
They'd win in six games over Golden State.
Was it Wetzel or Wolken who took a run at Cal? Because he has only won one title.
Wetzel.
That's what I thought. Wetzel.
We'll get to that tweet in the next hour.
Because right.
Calipari shot back. But he didn't shoot back because he doesn't listen to the media.
Right. Exactly. It just was a thought that rose up in his
head. Yeah, it had nothing to do with anything that was said the other day.
Curly22 tweeted in, said, so Gabriel wasn't drafted. What will he do? Is his basketball career over? Funny you should ask. No, it's not. He is going to go to camp, probably, I guess, play summer league ball with the Kings.
Well, I mean, nothing's confirmed yet, but he just tweeted out, like, Sac.
Coming
town,
to Sac.
Town. Yeah, Sac Town, here I come, or something like that. So, which he wouldn't. I guess he'd probably go there to sign a contract, but then he would go to Vegas or wherever they play their summer league games
right. And
play there. So I venture to guess he would be, at best, a two-way contract to start.
I would imagine. Here's another question. Like, can't Cal, make better connections in the Eastern time zone? I mean, is that too much to ask? So that I could watch some of these guys on a more regular basis?
I don't think he controls that.
Instead of having, whoever it is at Sacramento that likes all the UK players, can he get that guy a gig somewhere in the East?
I mean, the Central time zone's a nice kind
It's not bad.
You can watch the Pelicans.
I can watch the Pelicans.
So that's one.
Like, if we could just get the Pelicans to switch towns with the Pacers, that would be outstanding. Because then we could go up for games, too.
You wouldn't even have to trade that much. It would just be a couple letters.
Right.
So start with P.
Yeah. I mean, it would be weird to have a team called the Pelicans in Indianapolis, I feel like. But no weirder than having a team called the Jazz in Salt Lake City.
Yep. Or the Lakers in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Who knows? The whole thing's weird.
The NBA is very weird, but that's what makes it so much fun.
I know you're on the edge of your seats. We are 35 minutes away from the first pick in the NHL draft, which got this show off the rails from the drop.
I'd take the Czechoslovakian goalie number one. If
you have no idea how close you are.
Wait, who's going to be the number one pick?
It's apparently a Swedish defenseman named Rasmus Dahlin.
Oh, yeah, I like him too.
Who is 18 years old.
He's good.
And will probably be in the NHL next year.
Wouldn't the Swedish soccer dudes all shirtless today?
They eventually kind of, the Swedish guys kind of all eventually get shirtless. No, they didn't play today.
I thought that's who it was.
No, the Swiss player got shirtless.
Swiss. I get my S countries confused.
Yeah.
SW countries mixed up sometimes.
Yeah, the Swiss player got shirtless after he scored the winning goal. And it was really confusing because they were playing Serbia, so they were both S teams. And they were both basically red and white, and I had a hard time keeping track of who was whom.
Well, that's why they went shirts and skins at the end of the game.
Right. Just to make it easier. Except that they're both Central Europeans, so if one of them had to leave, it really didn't look any different when he took his shirt off. And he was the exact same color, bright white. Because they don't have sun where he's from or something. He was the Swiss guy, so it's all snow.
I just know that we're all happy Iceland lost.
I am. Go Nigeria.
Missed up.
Team Nigeria. Not a free kick, Curtis.
Whatever.
A penalty kick. We'll be back with more Big Blue Insider after this on the Home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP.
It almost breaks my heart, 'cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I ask the stars.
Welcome back, hour number two of Big Blue Insider. Mark Berger filling in tonight for Dick Gabriel alongside Curtis Birch. We spent a whole hour talking mostly responsibly about the NBA draft. Curtis, I'm proud of us.
How would we do that irresponsibly?
You've been around me a while. I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
That's true.
If you want to join the conversation about the NBA draft, you can call us 280-2287, 1-800-606-4263. You can email us, mark at WLAP.com. You can tweet the show either at Meisterberger or at Curtis Birch tonight. In the aftermath of the draft, a couple things. One, Vanderbilt being drafted in the second round, if I read this right, became the first one and done of the Cal era to not get drafted in the first round?
Yep, that's correct.
23 out of 23 to that point. Well, Scal kind of snuck in late.
Well, Daniel Wharton was the one that...
Daryl Wharton was the last one, right?
Yeah, he cut it the closest.
Yeah,
that
but
was
Cal,
the first year.
Cal Hatton didn't recruit him. I always forget Daniel
Did
Wharton.
He sign him? Did he accept him? Say yes, you
I guess
can
he did.
Come?
I always forget Daniel Wharton played here.
Because
he
didn't play that much.
I mean, he played a little bit more than Enes Kanter did. Not a lot more.
Now I'm going to look this up, see who played more minutes, Daniel Wharton or Jared Vanderbilt.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
I'll look it up during the next
Who
break.
Played more minutes, Daniel Orton or Matt Pilgrim?
That'd be Daniel Orton.
Would it be?
Matt Pilgrim never played.
That's right. I thought he played a couple games here. Who am I confusing him with that I thought played for half a season here or something like that?
I got
that?
No idea.
Yeah, you know. You're
Buddy right. Haskins?
Maybe.
Haskell, I think was his name.
Could have been.
But he was a walk-on, so.
So that was one bit of the aftermath of the NBA draft this morning. In the chatter. The other was, Curtis, we'll just go ahead and roll this out. Dan Wetzel took kind of a run at Cal. You know, Cal in 9 years has had, I think the number's what, 35 draft picks?
No.
No?
John Calipari has coached 26 first-round picks at Kentucky since arriving in 2009, same number as Nick Saban at Alabama since 2007. National titles, Saban 5, Cal 1. That was his tweet.
Well, and I don't know if I like or dislike Dan Wetzel. I read a lot of his stuff, and I think he does a very good job. I think that tweet is dumb on a number of levels. The first of which is...
But it's smart on some levels.
Oh, you just blew my mind.
Go on.
The first of which is that NFL draft picks and NBA draft picks aren't the same animal. First of all, I don't think a lot of NBA guys would be good at football. Second of all... NFL first-round draft picks, that part was a joke. NFL draft picks are like seasoned veteran. You know, you're winning your national championships on the backs of a lot of guys that have been in your program 3 and 4 years, and those are the guys that go on to be first-round NFL draft picks. Whereas in Cal's case, all of his first-round draft picks are guys who are barely 19 years old.
There are exceptions, but for the most part, yes.
So because the drafts are so different, it's almost impossible to compare the two to each other and say that these things are equal. Actually, I think it's wrong to compare the two to each other and say that these things are equal.
Did he say that, though?
He implies it.
Does he? It's two separate sentences in the tweet.
I mean...
And then it's parenthetical, the national title count.
Right. And I think the national title count is thrown in there at the end to try and make it look like Cal's not getting the job done. And you can argue that he's not, I mean, I guess. Except that the other reason that number is silly is the college football playoff is two games. You got to win two games.
Used to be just one.
Used to be just one.
I don't know how many does that count for Saban's championships.
Has he won two in the playoff era?
I think it's at least three. I don't know off the top of my head, but at least three, I think, were just one game.
Right.
So
I mean, that is a completely different thing than the college basketball tournament. The NCAA basketball tournament is probably the hardest postseason event for the best team to win because of the nature of it. I mean, the football thing's a little bit different now, because you got to play two and you're playing four really good teams, but it's basically, you know, that's essentially the Final Four, where you end up with four really good teams, and if you lose to a really good team, and there's not a whole lot of shame in it. But the NCAA basketball tournament is just a weird animal because it's one-off and because it's, you know, two nights between games instead of, you know, what, a week or a month or whatever it is, 2 weeks in the NCAA playoffs. It's a month. It's almost a month for the semifinals, and then it's 2 weeks to the finals, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So it's just such a weird postseason event that I think it sort of sets up for the best team not to win it all the time, or even really kind of very often. A really good team wins it every year, but for the football and basketball postseason just isn't the same thing.
Okay, a couple points. One, it's genius because now everybody's talking about the tweet. That's
right.
Why it was smart. But the funny part is me is that this is becoming a knock on Calipari, all this talent, one title, which isn't, I mean, you have it either way. All right, are you going to say, oh, John Calipari's the fourth best coach? Okay. What do you want me to say? Like, he got passed by Jay Wright and Roy Williams won without a bunch of lottery picks. Okay, there you go. All right, I'll give it to you. If you want to have him ranked fourth or fifth, that's still top five.
I feel like that's okay.
You're doing okay there. But the other point I find interesting is why all the first rounders are kind of being a knock against him. If you look at his main competition for those right now, and as we mentioned in last hour, John Calipari had comments that were about this, even though he won't admit they were about this today. But the main competition Kentucky's been going up against in recruiting, the Duke Blue Devils.
Yes.
They had an interesting draft.
Yes, they did.
They had a guy who was let me get this right, because going into the season, I will run down the top, well, I'll just go 3 through 8 in the 247 composites rankings. Number 3, Mohamed Bamba, top 10 pick. Number 4, DeAndre Ayton, number 1 overall pick. Number 5, Colin Sexton, top 10 pick. I'll leave out number 6. Number 7, Wendell Carter, top 10 pick. Number 8, Jaren Jackson, top 10 pick. Number 6 was Trayvon Duval.
Who?
Trayvon Duval. Who's a point guard for Duke, even though he wasn't a true point guard. Many people thought they were talking about pushing players out. He was kind of, it was pretty made clear that it was going to be, I can't think of their point, Trey Jones. He's the little brother of Tyus Jones' teams next year, and there's going to be a bunch of dudes coming on. So he left. He went undrafted. Undrafted. On top of that, another 5-star guy, Gary Trent Jr., went in the second round.
Right.
He didn't have any injury issues like Jared Vanderbilt did.
He just seemed ill-fit on that team somehow.
Yeah, because they had a guy who did what he did but better, and even though we hate him, Grayson Allen.
Right.
I mean, that's what it was. And so it's kind of crazy that Kay really hasn't had the draft success and not as much on-court success. So
Kay's got two titles now in the one-and-done era, right?
I don't count the first one. That's not full one-and-done era, even though it was, I guess, technically, because the rule had changed. But it hadn't been fully realized.
He wasn't using one-and-done
players
at
that
point
at all. Anybody was.
Except, you know, one guy.
At that point, though?
He had not like he is now.
What year was that?
Because the rule changed.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because Memphis and
the rule changed prior to that Memphis year, right?
I can't think of when the rule changed. But
I thought it was before that Derrick Rose Memphis year. Otherwise, Derrick Rose never would have gone to college. So it had to have changed before that. It wasn't like Derrick Rose went to college and suddenly blossomed into a star. Like, he was bound for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And seemingly endless injury problems.
All right, now in completely unrelated news, wink, wink, John Calipari had a tweet today that said,
what?
Could you imagine if we could keep kids for 3 years, what this program would look like? Oh my gosh. But I'm always happy for the kids when they reach their dreams. That's a pretty clear shot at Wetzel comparing football to basketball.
Who he completely didn't read, probably. No.
John Calipari will say that someone told him about this tweet, and then this happened, and he just said, oh.
It just popped into my head.
Yeah, I just thought about that. Can you imagine? I was just dreaming, just thinking about stuff. Because next year he would have Junior, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, and Bam Adebayo.
That feels like a good team.
You might be able to win a few games.
Here and there. Here and there.
You start a... little starting lineup. You probably roll with three guards next year because you'd go. It'd be tough on Shea to play the three and guard the three, but Fox, Monks, Gilgeous Alexander, Kevin Knox at the four, and Bam Adebayo at the five. That team might win a couple games.
I feel like they'd be all right. I feel like we could get behind that bunch, Curtis. We'd get to know the players as they grow up in the program. We'd be happy because they would be beating everybody by 50.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. It would be so glorious. I am sad that that's not the way it works. I mean, there used to be, like, before it became common, and even before the one and done rule, it was not uncommon for guys to leave college early. Mello.
Didn't a Duke kid do it?
Maybe. I mean, McGetty did, yeah.
Yeah, McGetty. Wait a minute. Did we just discover that Mike Krzyzewski is actually to blame for all this?
McGetty kind of had to leave.
Why?
Because he was involved in that Kareem Rush stuff.
Hmm.
He was going to be ineligible for a
while.
Did
Duke ever
get
in trouble?
They did not. They were specifically exempted from the rule at a press conference at the Final Four in San Antonio that year.
Interesting.
The only team ever to not be punished for not knowing that their guy should have been ineligible. Curious. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Big Blue Insider after this on the Home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP. Welcome back. Big Blue Insider, Mark Berger filling in for Dick Gabriel tonight alongside Curtis Birch. If you want to join us, we're talking mostly NBA draft and a little bit of nonsense. You can call us, 280-2287, 1-800-606-4263 are the numbers. You can email us, mark@WLAP.com. You can tweet the show either at Meisterberger or at Curtis Birch. Curtis, we are now just about 8 minutes away from the first pick in tonight's NHL draft. There are a bunch of goalkeepers eligible in the draft. Would you care to guess what country the two highest-ranked European goalkeepers in the NHL draft are from?
Is Russia Georgia, or is Russia Europe?
It is for these purposes. That would not be correct.
What?
I thought you'd get this easily, because you mentioned what the country used to be called.
Croatia? Wait, what did I say?
You called it Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia.
Which it hasn't been for quite some time.
Serbia? Montenegro?
No, that was Yugoslavia. Different Slavia. It is the Czech Republic and Slovenia.
Slovenia?
Slovakia.
Oh,
I
was about to say, Slovenia's having a big draft.
Okay, I feel bad talking about this. We're going to have to bring it up because it became a thing in my house yesterday.
Whoa.
We're watching the draft.
Hey now.
And
what's up, Brent Musburger?
And Curly, I'm not really paying attention at this point because... I knew that no UK players were getting drafted because it was early in the draft. It was the third pick in the draft, for that matter. And Luka Doncic is how you pronounce his name. I'll pronounce it any way I want, probably for the next 10 years. But Doncic, he gets drafted. He comes down with his entourage. And Curly 22 looks at the TV and goes, wow, that woman he's walking with is really pretty. And my son... the NBA following son goes, I think that's his mom. And there was a huge discussion that ensued about whether or not that was his mom or his girlfriend. And then we had to rewind the TV like three times because people kept talking over it. And in fact, it was Luka Doncic's mom. And like Twitter went bananas. She actually is very pretty. And I
don't know what, do you want me to like confirm?
No, man. But I had to sort of do base math at my house because Luka Doncic is 19. And I think his mom is younger than we are. So it's not that surprising, really. And it's Slovenia. Those are the biggest factors. So it's not like, you know, his mom is the same age as like my mom. Curtis, this is why Curtis is the best in the business. How did you, like, you had no idea I was going to talk about that at that point. Have you just had that sitting there waiting all night?
No.
Because you knew this was eventually coming up?
I just looked it up real quick.
It's pretty impressive.
So that was like, I'm very knowledgeable of Trace Adkins' ridiculous songs.
And almost all of his are.
Mm-hmm.
Every Light in the House is On is a great country song. Pretty much everything Trace Adkins has done other than that is hot garbage.
Yes, pretty much.
But Every Light in the House is On is fantastic.
Mm-hmm, I would agree.
So it was like there was like 15 minutes where Twitter just could not handle itself. Which is weird because they're like, that's at the NBA draft, that's like 5 draft picks.
Hey, one thing you know, NBA Twitter's good at figuring stuff out.
NBA Twitter is the best. Like if you were to pick a sport to follow just based on Twitter, it would likely be the NBA because the NBA has the best Twitter, with the exception
and you can
of
see
the
their
Men
highlights
and show all the time.
Because unlike the MLB, who makes you take stuff down all the time, because they're a bunch of old buddies.
And the NFL's not great about that either.
No,
like, and that is an excellent point. Like the NBA, and I didn't realize this until Jake, our older son, started, like, all of a sudden he was NBA wild, and I was like, how did you become an NBA fan? Like, we've never talked about the NBA. We've never watched the NBA in our house. And he's like, Dad, all my friends are NBA fans. It's all we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's so accessible to young people that are on young people's social media platforms, and they just watch the highlights, and they watch the interactions, and they go bananas.
Yep.
Major League Baseball. Like Major League Baseball is running around trying to figure out how it can appeal to younger fans, and they're doing stupid things to their sport. And instead, all they really probably got to do is be funny, and a lot of Major League Baseball Twitter accounts are funny, and then show your highlights on Twitter so that people can see them.
Well, let people tweet them out.
Yeah, that too.
Don't make them take it down.
Right, that's correct.
Still don't understand that.
Neither do I.
How they get so bent out of shape, but they do. So, okay.
We were talking about the NFL draft earlier, and I mentioned that 6th and 7th round guys are guys who are just, you know, getting drafted to get hit at camp. Kyle Cooper tweets in to remind me, Phil Simms was this, or no, he says he was a 7 pick overall in 1979 by the New York Giants and was booed loudly because people never heard of him being from Moorhead State. It worked out for Phil. Yes, it did work out for Phil. I thought he was going to tell me that Phil was and I forgot he was the number 7 overall pick. I thought that originally read 7th round pick. Of course, we all know which quarterback was a 7th round pick, right, Curtis?
No. Who?
I wanted to say Drew Bledsoe, and I knew that wasn't true. And now I forgot his name. Tom
Green?
Brady. Tom Brady. That's who it is. Brady. Like, all of a sudden, I couldn't remember Tom Brady's name. Tom Brady, of course.
And I just hung you out to dry because that's more entertaining than...
No, I know. I knew what was going on there. Don't get me wrong. I knew where we were headed.
Giselle's husband. He doesn't eat tomatoes. I can't think of it. He wears the Ugg boots. What's his name?
Right.
What's his name?
That was another video that went crazy today on the Twitter machine because Giselle is Brazilian, and okay. Brazil won their World Cup match.
Okay.
I'm going to have to rant about it after the commercial break. There was a moment that we'll have to discuss from the Brazil soccer match, as it oddly relates to a College World Series game that I just watched that made me angry the minute I sat down, which might be why Jan Man said I looked salty in your picture that you took of me when I got in here. But Giselle, they won the game, and Giselle went absolutely bananas in what was probably a kind of staged Twitter video. You could tell that because it had a little like animation guy in it, so it's pretty well put together for a random Twitter video.
That's on Snapchat.
Was it a Snapchat thing? Well, how was it on Twitter then?
You can download your Snapchat videos.
I've never really, there's a little dancing person on it. Is there?
Yeah, you like can put them in your Snapchat videos.
I did not realize
like there's a
that.
Dinosaur that will... Like,
I have a Snapchat account. I have not opened my Snapchat account in probably 9 months. We will connect
Do you mean, during the break, can I get a video of you and put a little guy on it?
No.
Too bad, I'm gonna.
Okay. We will connect the World Cup and the College World Series when we return. You're listening to Big Blue Insider on the home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP. Welcome back, Big Blue Insider. Mark Berger filling in for Dick Gabriel, alongside Curtis Birch. If you want to join in, 280-2287, 1-800-606-4263 are the numbers. You can email us, mark@wlap.com. You can tweet the show at Meisterberger or at Curtis Birch.
Before you get into your complaining, you want me to make you jealous?
Sure.
It's going to be extreme. You're going to be extremely jealous.
I just realized
like if it was 1 to 10, I'd say at least a 9. The song I'm playing right now.
Yeah. Did you see a fiddle made of gold today?
No. But I did see a glove made of gold, or a guy who had one, sing this song last night. Johnny Bench at the Children's Charity of the Bluegrass Cabaret.
How come I never get invited to that thing?
I don't know. I don't really get didn't really get invited. I just went there and set up radio equipment and didn't leave.
That's a clever ruse, Curtis.
Johnny Bench sang Devil Went Down to Georgia.
It's an odd choice.
He knew all the words.
I'm sure he did. I mean, he's from Oklahoma.
I think he was disappointed he didn't get more solo.
Because they just get together and sing, right?
There's this humongous band.
Right?
It was like 10 people. There was saxophones and trumpets and backup dance singers, Matthew Mitchell, this guy named Dennis Dixon, who writes a bunch of songs in Nashville. And they sang Prince. Dude that played in Whitesnake came up and sang.
Wait, David Coverdale is at this event?
No, the keyboardist.
Oh, okay.
Not David Coverdale. This guy, Rick, was his name. I sat by him. He was really cool.
Huh.
He's exactly what you would think like an 80s rock dude would look like right now. Like nice, long, gray hair.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And he just was super slim and went up there and just rocked out on the keyboard.
See, David Coverdale has the long, gray hair, but like he looks like he put a million hard years on himself when you see pictures of him.
Didn't.
This guy looked okay?
Yeah, he looked
okay. I will say, like, it's weird that you
Rick
say that Rick was nice. Double Q was letting us sell raffle tickets at the Def Leppard pre-show once back when we were selling raffle tickets on motorcycles for my old job. And so we go in there and we get the motorcycle in there. And we get there really early, so we're set up when this thing starts. And all of a sudden, these five guys just stroll through the lobby of the Lexington Center, that entryway that you go into to get into that front entrance, you know, that upstairs entrance of Rupp Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was weird because a woman who volunteers in Special Olympics was there, and she like was all dressed in Def Leppard stuff. Like when we got there, she was there waiting for him, and she knew them, so she hollered, and they're like, "Hey, Kathy!" And they came over and talked to us. So like I talked to like all of the Def Leppard guys, and they it was like talking to like normal people.
What did you expect?
Like I expected them to seem like rock stars, and they seemed like guys whose kids were in elementary school.
What year are we in here?
Sort of been 2003, probably.
Okay, so they were not in their prime anymore.
No. They were not out hard partying rock stars anymore.
Well, and not even that. I mean, when you have certain level of celebrity, you can't stop or people will...
No, they did stop.
No, they couldn't have stopped because they would have just been mobbed. You can get some normalcy and talk to...
They just like literally strolled in the front door of Rupp Arena and... knew my friend Kathy. It was very odd. And they talked to us for like 10 minutes. They were the nicest people you would ever want to meet.
Did you ask how the leopard became deaf?
I did not think to ask that. I was a little stunned. Like, I was honestly a little shocked that Def Leppard had just strolled in the front door. Like, I thought all those guys, like, they parked their campers at the back and snuck in the back way. And no, their RV was literally parked in the parking lot there on High Street. And they just got out of their RV, walked across the street, no security, no nothing, just wandered in.
I mean, I'm not here to besmirch the name of Def Leppard because they're nice fellas, but
it was not
2003.
A huge turnout. Right, yeah, it was not. Like, if this happened in 1987,
I don't think they needed.
I feel like the whole experience would have been different. But they were very pleasant.
So, yeah, Children's Charity of the Bluegrass. And that's why you're hosting tonight, because
Dick Gabriel's out there
helping with their comedy event tonight. Last night was the cabaret. They had a...
Is he telling jokes?
I don't think he is. He is just helping facilitate stuff. He is not on stage talent.
I was thinking,
to my knowledge.
On my way in here today, Curtis, I've been doing the Sunday show here. It'll be 10 years in September. 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many golf tournaments I've been invited to play in 10 years?
How many?
Zero golf tournaments, Curtis.
Well, I've been
invited to
zero.
That's the only reason I wanted to do the show in the first place. I thought people would know who I was, and I'd get invited to charity golf tournaments. Not a single one. Not one.
Sorry.
I'd play in all
of them. I don't make the guest list. I don't know why you're...
I'd play in all of them.
Angry at me about it.
It'd be funny. Our group in Northern Kentucky used to do... They do one with Joe Walter up there, and they have a big thing on the night before the golf tournament, like the cabaret, sort of, except that they auctioned off their celebrities. Like, Joe gets all the old Bengals to come in and play, and one of the ways that this event made money was they would auction off their celebrities. So, like, Isaac Curtis, you know, would draw a pretty good auction number, because everybody wanted to play with Ike, and fewer people wanted to play with, well, I don't even know. Jim Breach always drew a pretty good number, too, because everybody knew what a good golfer he was, and they could win the tournament with him, which is a neat little quirk of how that works.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are you attempting to be the celebrity in one of these events? Or
I was attempting to be the celebrity, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't think you have a ton of, like,
no, I don't.
Chance.
No, not really any. But I envision that whole thing for me going, like, have you seen Groundhog Day, when Chris Elliott gets up there in the Bachelor auction?
No.
It's auctioned off for 25 cents. That's how that would shake, mm-hmm. I feel like.
You'd be paying people.
Maybe like less than 25 cents.
There was an auction as well, and that's always an event. Auctions are always interesting to me, just because they just, like, people just yelling and people pointing. I can watch, like, for 5 minutes, an auction is one of the more entertaining things in, I think, the world.
And then, if you're not bidding in the auction, it's the most annoying thing to experience ever.
Yeah. There were four experiences that were able to be bid on last night, which was the, like, perfect amount of things to be bid on. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah. And if you walk into a charity event and there's more than 10 things in the live auction, you should turn around and leave. I mean, you've already bought the ticket. You've done your part. You should turn around and go, because that's going to be a long time on the charity auction.
The other big event, big thing that happened is I almost tripped Ken Anderson. Because, like, it was a dinner, and then, so, like, then the stage was up front, so you turn your chair around, and I was facing the wrong way, so I turned my chair, and so, like, my feet were kind of in an aisle, and he walked by, and he hit my foot. Almost fell.
And you almost tripped Ken Anderson.
Almost did, yeah.
Curtis.
That's kind of my lightning flame.
You could do damage to Ken Anderson.
Well, I didn't. It all worked out okay, but
all right.
It was close. Close call.
Well,
all right, now go. Come
my in. Plan was to connect the World Cup and the College World Series, because I thought Neymar, who scored one of the two Brazilian goals today, got his yellow card for faking a foul. Neymar completely faked a foul in the penalty area when it was still 0-0, trying to get a goal for Brazil on a penalty kick. They originally awarded the penalty kick. And then, Curtis, have you watched any of this?
No. Well, I mean, the World Cup. I didn't see any of this game.
No. So, but you've seen the video replay. Have you seen any of the video replay things?
VAR?
Yeah, VAR.
That's what they call it on the World
Video
Cup.
Assisted referee.
I don't know why they can't just say replay.
I don't know. They don't do that. It's VAR on the World Cup. But it's weird to see, because I'm used to soccer never stopping for anything. But, and, you know, the Premier League has used it in the past, used it this past season. MLS uses it. So if you watch a lot of soccer, you're starting to get used to it. And they did it. And so they've given Brazil this penalty kick, and the video assistant referee buzzes the head referee and says, hey, you might want to come take a look at this. The guy runs over, looks at it, realizes that the defender never touched Neymar, and he just fell over and tried to get the penalty, which almost worked. And the guy rescinds the penalty kick, gives the ball to the other team, and off they go. And, of all the video, so far the World Cup has sort of gotten it right. There have been real problems in MLS with VAR. But the World Cup, I've seen it happen five or six times.
Well, it happened today as well. The one I was watching,
which
when
one?
Iceland got beat, they missed their penalty kick off of a review.
They got
the kick because of a review,
and
it was the right call.
And, you know, good.
Yeah, I know.
So I thought Neymar got a yellow card for his faking of the foul, which you're supposed to get a yellow card for faking of the foul, but he didn't. So anyway, I'm still mad about the College World Series. This is what happened.
Wait, he didn't? I thought I just saw on the screen.
He got
that
a yellow
did.
Card, but it was for smashing a ball to the ground in the World Cup, according to what I'm reading right now. Not for falling over.
When I don't understand how he smashed a ball into the ground.
I don't know. I missed it. I just assumed that I didn't see him get the yellow
card. Like Isaac Humphries?
Yeah,
kind of
like that.
When he got teed up?
Yeah, kind of like that.
That's stupid.
Right. You should just not do those things. That's why it's stupid to have
gotten
the yellow card for that.
Well, you shouldn't even just get calls. I mean, yeah, that's ridiculous.
So anyway, that's what he got. So regardless, I had connected those to the College World Series because as soon as I sat down in here in the College World Series, there was a play, Mississippi State and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State was up, I think, at the time, 7-2.
I think it's Oregon State also.
Is it Oregon State? It is Oregon State. My bad. They all just say OSU and they have the same colors. Somebody should fix that. Oregon State, the guy from Oregon State slides into second base to break up the double play. It wasn't really that bad a slide. He was, as Eduardo Perez pointed out, his right foot, his leading foot, touched the base on the way by. The shortstop who's trying to make the turn throws it over the first baseman's head. They come back and they called the runner at second base out. It's a much stricter rule in college than it is in Major League Baseball for the sliding away from the base deal, right? So afterwards, the commentators, Kyle Peterson is one of the analysts in the booth, says he sells that call. Stovall, who's the shortstop, acts like he got clipped, but he never gets clipped, so I'm going to give Stovall credit for that. And I thought Eduardo Perez was going to fight him. He was so angry. And we have to, this is the thing, the argument is always, right, oh, soccer guys, all they do is fall down and pretend that they're hurt. Soccer has made rules where you're not supposed to get away with that anymore. Neymar was supposed to get a card for this, and I'm trying to watch it, waiting to see what he did to get the penalty. You're supposed to get a card for faking a foul, like you got fouled. They call it, in soccer, they call it simulation, taking a dive. You're supposed to get all that. So, and now we celebrate it in all these other sports. Like, we celebrate it in basketball. Oh, he sold that foul. LeBron gets – actually, LeBron's one of the few guys that takes heat for it in the NBA. But I don't know why – I don't know when we went from soccer stupid because guys fake fall down all the time to we should celebrate these other guys basically cheating, which is what was going on. And Eduardo was mad, one, because he didn't think the slide was bad and that it was good baseball and that the dude shouldn't have been out. And Carl Ravitch was the guy who just kept after it, which I thought was funny. And Eduardo kept trying to explain to him why Ravitch was so wrong. And Eduardo was getting heated. And then he also didn't think that we should give people credit for basically cheating, which is what you're doing.
I don't get too upset about that stuff either way, honestly.
Well,
if you want to sell a call, okay. But if there's a penalty set up and you get that penalty, good. That's broke a rule. You get in trouble for it.
Yes.
I mean,
I thought you were saying it was good that you got the penalty kick for selling the foul. I got confused again.
No, I'm ambivalent towards all of it.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's necessarily good or bad. I just don't get fired up.
I do, because it's kind of what I do.
Well, it's a bad call, so that's a bad call. But if the ref's so dumb, then, I mean, taking advantage of ref stupidity. I mean, there's worse things to do in the world.
Nuh-uh. A few worse things. You could do a few worse things. Take a break. We'll be back to close out this edition of Big Blue Insider after this on the Home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP.
That girl is such a fake model. She definitely bought all her Instagram followers. Who goes out on Mondays? Okay, let's go take
Welcome
some shots.
Welcome back.
Oh, no.
Big Blue Insider, Mark Berger, closing this one out. For Dick Gabriel, who I'm sure is glad he's not here right now.
Nah, he loves this song.
Curtis, what is this?
You don't remember this? It's a selfie song.
I'm reasonably certain I've never heard this before in my life.
It's a huge hit.
It seems very much like every era has one stupid, ridiculous sort of cultural hit.
I mean, it wasn't like anything like that.
The 70s had Disco Duck, and the 80s had Valley Girl. I'm trying to think of what the 90s had.
Macarena. Anything by the Spice Girls.
That's a good point. That was awful, Curtis.
But yesterday was National Selfie Day.
It was. I did
according
see
to the
that.
Internet. I don't know.
There's a National Everything Day, according to the internet.
I'm curious.
To keep straight.
I would like to do a social experiment one day if I just tweeted out one day that it is National Snickers Bar Day. Go eat your Snickers. Like, how many people would go buy Snickers if they saw that tweet?
Yeah, that wouldn't work. There's already a National Snickers Bar Day.
How do you know that?
I just made it up.
See? There you go.
I think I would be, I wouldn't be for a National Snickers Bar Day.
I think there ought to be.
It could be like Snickers and or Milky Way.
I'm going to create one. It's going to be National Give a Radio Producer $100 Day.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
July 1st is that day. So that's what you got to do that day. Actually, we should make it a Sunday. Let's see. Wait, actually, that would be the first, right?
It is a Sunday.
Perfect.
Yeah, you'll be
without
me. Oh,
wait, you're gone.
I don't even know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who's here that day.
I'm here and Anthony's here.
And
Larry Vault will be there.
Is Bo going to come in and help out? Or?
Yeah, we'll take care of it.
All right.
Summertime.
There you go. I will be. I was just going to bring that up. That works out perfectly for me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Curtis. July 1st through the 7th, or actually through the 6th. We fly back on the 7th. July 1st through the 6th will be the Special Olympics USA Games. I say that for a couple of reasons. One, there are 6 athletes from here in Central Kentucky that are going to be making the trip to the USA Games. Ryan Bartz from up in Georgetown is a track athlete. Megan McCormick and Aaliyah White Megan McCormick and Drew Janoski are both swimmers. Aaliyah White and Tanya Cornett are gymnasts. And Wake Mullins and his stepfather, Dennis Gaines, are golfers. They will play unified golf. So we actually have 7 competitors from Central Kentucky going. The games and different parts of the games will be broadcast on ABC and ESPN and ESPN2, including, I can't give away any of the details, but you'll want to check it out. There is a feature about the 5 Kentucky gymnasts that are going to the USA Games. Again, 2 of them are Lexingtonians. That Julie Foudy came in and shot in April. And I haven't seen the full version of it yet, but I saw a little teaser yesterday. And if you want to check that out, you can check it out on the Special Olympics Kentucky Facebook page and watch the video. And it's the whole thing's going to be really cool. And as an added bonus, watching Special Olympics events is pretty inspirational. And I'm honored to get a chance to do that. So that's where I will be on Sunday, July the 1st. So I can't give you $100 on National Give a Radio Producer $100.
No,
today, Curtis.
Date's now got to be changed.
You're just going to move it?
To the 8th? When are you going to be back?
I'll be back on the 8th, and yeah. I'm going to warn you right now, Curtis.
You won't have any money?
My flight lands at 11:30 at night on the 7th.
Oof.
And I'm going to roll in
bad.
Here.
You've done it. Well, no, but you've
I've
done crazier stuff, I think.
No, Not on the back end of something like this. This is the most, like, because we go and I end up being like a sports information director for the team. So I go from venue to venue and take pictures, and we'll do video now because video is easy to send back. High definition video that, you know, we started that 4 years ago. We do a little bit of video. And then I will sit up all night updating websites. And like, I don't have a whole staff like CoachCal.com. You know, it's just me. Updating
Coach
the
Cal
website.
That's just TJ Beisner.
It might just be TJ Beisner, actually. So it is exactly like CoachCal.com. So we'll have to send all the press releases back to the local papers and things like that. So I'll get about 3 hours of sleep a night, and then I will come here.
Cool.
3 hours of sleep for 7 straight days, and then you have to put up with me.
That's all right. I've dealt with you when you've had a lack of sleep.
That's a good point.
It happens some.
So, anyway, importantly, watch the Special Olympics USA Games on ESPN and ABC and ESPN2. After hyping it for so long, Curtis, I failed to keep track of the NHL draft.
And who went one?
I can't even get my computer to open the tab. I've got like 72 tabs open.
Oh, I thought you just meant maybe the site was down because so many people were interested.
Might also be it.
What's it on? Like the NHL Network, I'm guessing? Or is,
it's probably on NHL Network. If it's not on NHL Network, it would be on NBC Sports. They're the ones who cover, they're the ones who have the NHL contract for the most part right now.
Did you know? this popped in my head because we're talking, obviously, Stanley Cup, Golden Knights.
Right.
There's a WNBA team in Vegas now. Do you know that?
I did not know
that. I found that out last night when I was watching the draft. They were promoting a WNBA game, and they said the Las Vegas Aces will face off against the Chicago Sky or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? And then I thought, well, that means the NBA is going to Vegas soon. Sorry, Louisville.
Everybody's
going to
be in Vegas. I heard, was it Gabe talking about that the other night?
Probably.
That Seattle would get it. Yeah, it was. Seattle would get a team before anybody else and then Vegas.
Yep.
I never did find the number one NHL pick. Sorry for that, everybody.
Slee McGoalkeeper.
Right, Slee McGoalkeeper. Thanks for spending some of your evening with us. For Curtis Birch, this is Mark Berger, and this has been Big Blue Insider on the Home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary Van Houten?
We're broke.
The country is broke? How can that be?